Welcome to Transform Now, the podcast brought to you by robotic process automation pioneer SS&C Blue Prism. Digital transformation has the potential to reshape the way companies service their customers, engage their employees, and manage their operations. Whether you're looking to develop strategies, tactics, or best practices to positively impact the future of work, or you're curious to see how other companies have successfully navigated their digital transformation programs, then this podcast is for you. We're here to help you transform now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brad Hairston with SS&C Blue Prism. Welcome to the Transform Now podcast. Today, I'm happy to have as my guest, Matt Gustaitis, CEO and founder of Digital Workforce Solution, a Blue Prism delivery partner. Matt and I will be talking about the significant automation opportunity in healthcare and life sciences and how his consultancy is helping companies in that industry build automation programs that thrive and scale. Matt, welcome to the podcast. Why don't you tell our listeners more about yourself?
Great. Thanks, Brad. Yes, my name is Matt Gustaitis, and we started Digital Workforce Solution in April of 2020. And it's been a great journey, and there's, you know, lots of opportunities that we're seeing on the horizon, but great to be with you and share just some insight from what we're seeing as we work with our different organizations.
Prior to your current company as the head of a consultancy in automation, you spent about 24 years in manufacturing companies. Most of that time, as I've learned, was focused on SAP development. But during your last 3 years, you pivoted toward automation and helped stand up a center of excellence at a major pharmaceutical company. How did you end up in that role? Could you give us some context around it?
Yeah, it's a very interesting journey, actually, Brad. But early in my career, I moved across the organization, including many different areas, including finance. I spent some time in drug discovery area, business development, and system support. And I really think that it was interesting over that time horizon while I was there, which was, you know, almost 20 years, this exposure to many important parts of the business helped me understand the importance of driving value for the company and shareholders. And I think that it really provided the experience that I needed to understand how organizations make key decisions, how they work across the different business functions and areas. And having that exposure, I think for me, really led to just a great opportunity to learn quickly and use those experiences as I move forward.
And that was your first time to do anything around automation when you got that role?
Yes, I had worked on several different tools that linked into SAP. This was the last several years was really more focused on what really came about in the automation, intelligent automation space. So that was really where I learned a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, what did you learn from that experience from setting up a COE? Because that's a pretty large task, and I'm sure it was a bit of baptism by fire. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it is interesting. There were a lot of challenges, but I learned that every part of the company must work together to ensure that every decision that is made is focused on delivering the value necessary to the organization. You know, it's interesting because this could be through driving process efficiencies or even just finding new ways to innovate or improve the speed to delivery to the market. But I think from that experience, it really showed me that there really is a big need to also just help people in their day-to-day work. There's a lot of people doing a lot of activity every day. And if you can really help offload some of that very mundane, repetitive work, that's, I think, what really excited me when I first got this experience was just the ability to really kind of offload the work that people really didn't want to have to do, and allow them to do the more value-added activities. And that honestly was really exciting to me when I saw that.
Yeah, interesting. You were at a large pharmaceutical manufacturer. Where did most of the automations occur in that company at the beginning when it was all getting started? And then, you know, kind of where did it evolve from there? Just curious what that looked like.
No, it's a great question. And, you know, the reality is the organization at the time had a shared service center. And so what was nice was you had these core processes that were running, and a lot of it was centralized and standardized. But we decided to start pretty much in the finance department, but that was really within the shared service center. And since our processes within finance specifically were mainly centralized and somewhat and mostly standardized, we were really ready to begin automating manual repetitive tasks. So once we started there, then it just caught on and we were able to expand that pretty quickly across the shared service center. And then even beyond that, as more functional areas were moving work into the shared service center, it really was a great mechanism to really get started in that space and kind of grow from there.
Matt, I have to ask, did all of your extensive SAP experience and knowledge help you make the move into automation? Was that a benefit?
You know, Brad, it's funny because looking back, I wouldn't have thought that that really helped me move into this space. But honestly, when I think about it, that experience really of understanding both the way systems work together, what can you do from the front end, more the GUI aspect of an ERP system, and then also the back end, allowed me to realize that there are many options that we could explore as we started utilizing bots. You know, if I didn't have that knowledge and experience looking back, I think that it would have been a little bit more of a challenge, not so much getting started, but really understanding what all those options could be, right? So we found that if we can leverage our bots with whether it's APIs or direct feeds, that we could really bypass a lot of the front end that people have to go through, and we could speed up the processing time. And so that's something, that's an example where, because of that experience and understanding how that works, you know, even though most of my background is more finance than it even is IT, but understanding both sides of that really helped me be able to, I think, really look for and leverage those opportunities where I think organizations maybe aren't necessarily thinking about that right away.
That's a really good answer. There's so many people out there in the market that know SAP, that many of which are making that transition into doing automation. And I think having that enterprise app expertise and experience is really valuable to people in that sector. Matt, what prompted you to leave your industry job and start your own consultancy around automation?
So really, I had learned so much over the 4+ years that I had been working in the automation space for that company. And I felt confident that I could leverage those skills and really in any industry or job. I remember at the time, because I'd spent quite a bit of time talking with other organizations. I went to a lot of conferences and really was just trying to learn. There's so much to learn in this space that for me, it was, you know, where can I go to get more knowledge on what can I learn from what other organizations did, maybe the pitfalls and things they ran into, and how could I get that experience? And so actually at the time we were looking to expand, the organization actually decided to shift some of the jobs overseas. So then I had to make a decision. What do I want to do? Do I want to continue on where I'm at, or is it maybe a good opportunity to try something different, right? And so, you know, I'd always had an interest in entrepreneurship, which was very interesting because I remember talking with people at the organization and saying, you know, I love, you know, just small businesses and how they get started. And it's interesting, I didn't realize at the time that was the journey I was going to get on very soon. And so I was actually excited to give it a try. But you know, it was definitely a challenge because it was right before COVID hit. So it was right in that early 2020 timeframe. And so you think about it, everything was changing. So I think if it, when I look back, it was probably the most challenging. And even at the time, I maybe didn't realize what I was stepping out into, but it's been exciting to be a part of it and just see how not only coming out of, you know, what's been going on with COVID, but also being able to leverage all of that as companies are now looking to really move more in that space because of what happened with COVID. So I think it really turned out to be good timing, even though at the time I thought it was really a challenge. So it was very
Has anything surprised you about running your own automation consultancy? Anything that you didn't expect?
I guess I would say it's to me, it's really been an honor to have great people. You know, when I first started, I thought it was really just pretty much going to be me and I would have to figure it out. But, you know, we have a group of people and they're really hard workers, and they do a really good job of helping make sure that all of us are continuing to always learn together as a team. And so we leverage our experiences across the team. And I think that's, to me, that's really been extremely helpful to make sure our clients are successful. Is it's not just the experiences I bring from my previous organization, but also all these other people that are a part of that. And they have a wealth of knowledge that we always want to leverage. So I think it's important to be focused on our goals as a team and make sure that you take the time. Also, you know, we talk about how can we, you know, have fun too. And what we're doing, we always want to try to have fun and make it something that people just enjoy what they're doing versus people who don't look forward to going in to the office each day. We really enjoy working together. And I think that's a really important part of it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So Matt, I understand that your company, Digital Workforce Solution, is primarily focused on healthcare and life sciences. Why is this space in the market so ripe for automation and worth all of your attention?
I would say that the healthcare industry is interesting because the healthcare industry, as we've seen it, is continuing to evolve. They tend to lag more the technology-focused organizations because obviously their focus is on the patient. So technology is critical, but it's not maybe as critical as it would be for an actual technology company, right? So, but what's interesting is now we're really starting to see where healthcare, because it could also be because of COVID and what happened, that healthcare industries are saying, we really need to be adopting technology. You know, our patients actually are relying on that now more than they ever have before, right? So, you know, whether you talk about telehealth or whatever it might be, there's a big push there. And also government organizations are saying that's really important too within healthcare. So I would say that our team has a lot of experience working on automation in healthcare industry. And so we also find it very rewarding because it's more than just cost reduction or revenue expansion. You're actually helping improve the patient in their healthcare experience. And, you know, honestly, I tell, you know, a lot of people all the time, I say, you can't really put a price tag on the importance of the patient experience, right? So there's that additional benefit. From my view, it's one thing to automate something in another industry, which is really important, but you're talking more on the finance side of the house and the value proposition. In this case, we're talking about value, both not only from monetary, but also the patient experience. And working with healthcare companies, you really, when you see some of these examples that they're able to do, it really gets exciting when you see that it actually, everybody's a patient at some point. So this can even benefit you as you go in to see your doctor or whatever it might be. And so I think that's really, to me, that adds an additional benefit, I think, when you talk about working with healthcare industry.
I don't think any industries are more documentation heavy than or as highly regulated. You right. can add that as well. But yeah, those are just things to add to your points, which were really good.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you're advising companies on intelligent automation, what have you found to be the biggest obstacle to the success of their automation programs?
We really find that companies sometimes struggle aligning on how to structure and support their automation program. You know, we just see a lot of examples where there's just a lot of decisions that have to be made. You know, is this something we're going to tackle internally? Are we going to look for a partner to help us build? What does that look like? But we also see companies that have to balance the decision on the RPA technology itself without letting it become a distraction or even a delay in the automation delivery. You know, so a lot of times we're seeing where it could be an obstacle where you may have different people within the organization trying to say, well, I think we should go this route or that route, especially when it comes to purchasing a technology. And, you know, it's really critical that they understand what are their options. And that's one thing we really provide with our organization is let's look at the variety, right? But you can look at the Gartner report, you can look at what's out there, but really you want to have practical examples that you can turn to, because at the end of the day, you're going to be using that tool to build, right? It's not just something that you're just going to throw out there and hope that it works. It's actually something that you want to have some hands-on experience with. And so I think for us, that's really a key thing to overcome that obstacle is how do we really show them those options and help them understand, look, this is an important decision, but it shouldn't become a distraction and slow you down from your journey.
Right, right. What approach do you take with your clients to help them build the right vision for intelligent automation, and also just to think big, not just look at it or treat it like a point solution?
For us, we really see that there's an opportunity to start with developing a custom strategy. So instead of taking a standard blueprint and saying, hey, this is what everybody should do, we really sit down and understand what are their goals and objectives, and then develop a custom strategy for them that focuses on really meeting their company objectives while helping them understand their options on technology, options around operating model, and most importantly, understanding and getting to their KPIs, right? What are they trying? What's their goal? What are they trying to get to? And really focusing on that first before you ever start to build. I think that it really is challenging when organizations want to quickly move very fast to development because they see the dollar signs, but we want them to understand that, look, this is a journey. This is a, this is a long-term strategy. This isn't a 6 month, let's build a tool and then we're done. This is a long journey that you want to get on. So we help clients understand the value proposition and how to correctly target the use of automated technology. And since intelligent automation changes the way work is assigned and completed, it requires more than just a new technology. It requires organizational alignment between the business, IT, and leadership. And so that's really, you can go to our website and see that that's really a key focus for us at Digital Workforce Solution.
What have you found to be the most effective ways to cost justify an investment in automation? How do you help companies in that area in particular?
For us, we typically understand that organizations want to see the value to the organization before they're going to make an investment. A lot of times it's very difficult to just make the investment with the hope that you're going to get some sort of return at some point. And that sometimes is the case, but this is why we spend time in our phase one program. We break it down into multiple phases, but our phase one program really to help them with business case development and proof of value delivery to really show the longer term opportunity. It may not happen right away, but look, you may have great opportunity as you go on into the future. And so this is the roadmap that can help you with that. So we provide that roadmap to leadership so they can understand, obviously, the return on investment, which, we know leadership will be looking for. But the good news is that it usually, what's nice is it doesn't take a big investment to really get started in the intelligent automation space. Unlike where you have to buy a system and it's very expensive, you can get started at a very reasonable upfront cost and kind of see that you're getting some wins before you make your bigger, longer term investment. And so that's one thing we really help them better understand what's possible with some little upfront investment versus the longer term big investment.
Matt, I know that your company recently worked with a nonprofit healthcare system of a major university, and you helped them scale their automation solution dramatically just in the first year. Can you expand on this and just tell us about the engagement, what made it so successful?
Yeah, it's really been a great relationship with them. The engagement really has been successful, I would say, driven by, probably a few reasons. One, it has been a good relationship between our company, Digital Workforce Solution, the business and IT team at the hospital, because they really also have engagement at the highest level, which is really important, having a champion who can really stand behind and help drive it within the organization. That initiative is very important. Secondly, we were able to guide them on how to analyze and document their processes in preparation for automation. Like you had mentioned earlier, that in healthcare, they have to have a lot of documentation, which is true, but you have so many people as well. So it's really hard to understand what all everybody's doing at every point in time. So helping them prepare by documenting processes, understand the benefits of using one of the top three RPA software providers is really critical. So we help them really see the options, but really importantly, see the most important aspects of the tool that they're going to choose. And then lastly, we spent a lot of time building a solid foundation, including training org design, which I think is really important, and properly targeting the technology. And so, you know, you think about they already had a lot of technologies already in-house, but how do we find those, what we call white spaces, where there's opportunities where you can leverage technologies that you hadn't leveraged before? And I think that was really where we've seen dramatic increase in just the number of successful automations that have been delivered. And they really have a great team there that's helping really drive this with just some of our oversight and guidance at this point.
It's a great story. I appreciate you sharing it. It's a story that is creating quite a bit of buzz over here at Blue Prism as well, because to see a company go this far, this fast, it is really remarkable. And also in this particular case, I know revenue cycle management was a big part of it. And that's such an important space within healthcare. And when companies introduce automation there, it can have such an impact. So thank you for sharing that story. Really powerful. Matt, I know that you guys also work with other types of clients outside of healthcare and life sciences. Any other stories you can share here today? Something a little bit unique or compelling? I always love to capture those kind of stories from consulting firms like yours while I have the opportunity.
Sure, absolutely, Brad. You know, one of the greatest stories that, you know, that I can recall of the last couple of years is, if you recall, you know, in 2020, the NCAA tournament, March Madness, was actually canceled due to COVID. So in 2021, it was interesting because the NCAA in 2021 was trying to figure out how they were going to hold the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And they were looking for a location that would be able to handle all of the players, staff, coaches, everybody in one place to where they could handle all the COVID testing. And so they actually, related to that university hospital system, the NCAA actually asked them to help coordinate all the COVID testing in Indiana, which is a pretty significant ordeal when you think about it. And so what was interesting was at the time, we were just kind of getting started with building out digital workers and allowing them to, you know, start working within their environment. But what was interesting was it was really amazing to think, you know, when you think about all of the players coming to Indiana, having to get off the bus and immediately have to be registered in the hospital system, and otherwise they wouldn't be able to start practicing, right? So as soon as they get off the bus, they want to be already registered, get their COVID test, and walk on the court, start practicing, right? There's not a lot of time between Selection Sunday, if you recall, and when players are showing up and wanting to start practice, because games begin right away, just in a few days. So what's interesting is by leveraging technology and having these digital workers actually go in, they were actually able to register from that time that we had Selection Sunday all the way to where those players got off the bus, and they were already registered in the system and could start their COVID tests. And then these digital workers could actually set them up and schedule them to have regular COVID tests each day prior to beginning practice. And so you can just imagine, I mean, the players, we received a video, it was pretty cool, that showed players were so excited about getting their COVID test, really because they were excited to be able to play basketball again. So you can imagine sitting on the sidelines for an entire year, wishing that you could have played. Now you get the chance again. And it was just amazing how it was all orchestrated between that hospital system as well as the NCAA. And it was really neat that we could play a part in really helping those digital workers be able to function in a pretty short order. It was a lot to turn around in a very short amount of time. But I think those are the exciting things when you think about even in short duration, quick turnarounds, you can put something in place and really be able to significantly make a difference. You know, they would have, you know, I think in this case, it would have been very difficult to train up a whole bunch of people to be able to do that kind of repetitive registration type work. And so it was a big task, but it was really neat to see. And I would say one of the greater success stories, you know, that I can think of over the last year or so.
Wow, that is an amazing story. I did not expect anything like that. I have to ask, so you had this incredible opportunity to save March Madness, basically. I know you're not saying that, but let's just tell it like it is. You didn't take advantage of this opportunity and train some digital workers to make it easier for Purdue to win the national championship. I know you're a Purdue grad, so I had to add that.
No, unfortunately, that wasn't part of the magic, right? So
yeah. Well, that's an awesome story. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
So Matt, as we wrap up, why don't you tell me what you think is in store for digital workforce solution in your company, as well as just the intelligent automation market in general. What do you see ahead?
We are really seeing a lot of new opportunities across, like you had mentioned, you know, the healthcare and life science industry,
yep,
as well as the supply chain and manufacturing. I just think that there's a lot of opportunity there that still you would think has been tapped into, but there really is a lot that hasn't been. And I think the future improvements in technology and the need for companies to better utilize their workforce more than they have before, with a lot of the remote work and everything that's happening, there should be plenty of opportunities to guide companies to be successful. So we know there will always be the challenges that we'll always have to face, but I think our team at Digital Workforce is dedicated to navigate those challenges because we see the benefits outweigh the challenges. And I think we're seeing more partnerships that are happening between whether it's software providers or consulting and so on. And I think because of that, those partnerships, I think we're really going to see a lot of potential as we move forward and working together in a united front. So I'm really excited about that.
Matt, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate the conversation and learning about digital workforce solution and just the mark that your company has already made in the market. You're a young company, but you've already been a great partner for Blue Prism, and we look forward to building on that partnership going forward. So thank you for coming on and sharing about your company and about your insights in healthcare and life sciences, which, as you said, and I couldn't agree more, is just ripe for automation. So much opportunity there. So we look forward to further collaboration with you and your company. Thanks again and be well.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to Transform Now. For more insightful discussions on digital transformation and more, check out our podcast channel where you'll find all of our previous episodes. And to make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast player. And if you like what you've heard, please leave us a review. For more information about digital transformation and the future of work, check out blueprism.com to learn how SS&C Blue Prism's digital workforce is enabling enterprise transformation now.